Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
All right, I couldn't stay away. It is a great time of year. Figured I would spend the next 30 or 40 minutes talking with Aztec fans. We'll talk some basketball. We'll talk some football. And hard to believe we're only a couple of weeks away from the start of the men's basketball season. So John Schaefer with you. It's been a while here since we've had a wrap-up show, so figured I would do it. I think there's a lot of excitement off the result today. San Diego State over UCLA in a closed-door scrimmage up at Pauley Pavilion in Los Angeles. So we'll talk about that. And I think you have to take those results sometimes with a grain of salt, but it's always a good thing to win a game as opposed to not win a game. And considering the circumstances, I mean, San Diego State without, you know, three starters potentially, or certainly three players that are going to log a lot of minutes this year, if healthy, Reese Waters and Nick Boyd and Wayne McKinney. And PJ Davis goes off. He scores 28 points today for San Diego State at Pauley. San Diego State over UCLA 72-67. I also want to talk some Aztec football. Homecoming is coming up this Saturday. San Diego State 3-3 overall, needing three wins for bowl eligibility. Washington State this weekend. We'll get into all of it. Do want to hear from you guys as well. Put your comments in the live chat and make sure to subscribe as well. Year-round content for Aztec fans. I did this on a whim. I mean, I just created this stream about 5 minutes ago and figured let's talk some Aztecs football and basketball on a Sunday night. We're 2 weeks away. I mean, that's hard to believe. We're 2 weeks away from San Diego State men's basketball. They'll open against UCSD. It'll be 2 weeks from Wednesday. And again, San Diego State football, you know, you get a couple of wins here and you can get to bowl eligibility. It's not going to be easy. And we'll talk about that over the next 30 or 40 minutes as well. But let's talk about this afternoon at Pauley, and then let's get into whatever you want to get into. But this was a day where UCLA, you know, is fully healthy. You know, they used all of their players, which is to be expected in a scrimmage. And San Diego State was not fully healthy. I mean, playing without Reese Waters, who started for the first half last year, obviously, for San Diego State, without the USD transfer, Wayne McKinney, without the FAU transfer, Nick Boyd, who's coming off a foot. And hopefully all those players are available when San Diego State starts in a couple of weeks against UCSD at Viejas Arena. And then you look at, and I wasn't there, by the way, but I've read what Mark Ziegler has written in the UT. I saw the box score that Jeff Goodman, I think, posted as well from Field of 68. You just kind of piecemeal together, and you're left really impressed. You know, with BJ Davis specifically, 8 of 9 from the floor, 6 of 7 from three. You know, he certainly had some moments as a freshman, but was playing behind those senior guards, those veteran guards. But, you know, players have moved on, and you've had some players depart via the transfer portal. And again, you have some injuries here today. BJ Davis is absolutely going to play a large role for this team. I don't know if he's going to have the opportunity to, you know, score 28 points per game, but really encouraging and nice to see him kind of run with the way last season ended. He got some opportunities late in the NCAA tournament, and obviously it's been a big offseason for BJ Davis and had a huge game here today. In addition to that, just looking at this box score here right now from Jeff Goodman. So again, 28 points from BJ Davis. Magoon Gwath had 10 points. He was 4 of 7 from the floor. Yes, he had 8 turnovers. I think the one thing that's kind of glaring that I'm not going to read too much into, truthfully, is the turnover number, because you're without 3 guards today. You're without 2 ball handlers in McKinney and Boyd, basically 2 true point guards, and you're without Reese Waters as well. So 3 veteran, you know, 3, 4, 5 year college player, 3, 4, 5 years of experience at college guards. You're without, you know, a handful of those. So I'm not really going to read too much into the turnovers, although I think it's probably a talking point coming out of this. So Magoon Gwath, 10 points. He did have 8 turnovers in this game, but then again, he played over 31 minutes. BJ Davis, again, 28 points, 6 of 7 from beyond the arc. Miles Byrd was 4 of 10 from the floor, had 9 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. I think something that Here's the way I treat scrimmages. It's like anything that looks really good, I'm going to be like, wow, that's a huge thing to kind of harp on. And anything that doesn't look very good, I'm going to be like, eh, it's a scrimmage, whatever. But, you know, you out-rebound UCLA by 8, 35-27. You hold the Bruins to, I think, 34% shooting. Do I have that right? I'm looking at, 34.5% shooting. San Diego State shot 54.5% from the floor. So these are some of the calling cards we always talk about, like defense first, the 34.5%. And then the rebounding plus 8. And we know San Diego State is going to be as long as they've probably been maybe in forever. When you think about guys like Guath, Coleman Jones, Farrell Compton in this game had 4 points in 15 minutes off the bench. Miles Heidi is 6'10". You know, Taj DeGorville is a long freshman guard who tonight, let's see, scored 5 points, had 4 rebounds on 2 of 8 shooting for the Aztecs. But again, you kind of like the defensive metrics. You like the rebounding numbers plus 8. You like the free throw shooting. They were 15 of 20 in this game. They were 9 of 21 from 3. Again, most of that B.J. Davis, who hit 6 threes. But Bird, DeGorville, Kimo Ferrari, San Diego, who transferred back from the Ivy League, also hit a 3 in this game, 9 of 21. You're going to win a lot of games shooting at that percentage from 3. And then UCLA was 12 of 31 from 3. That's a lot of made threes. They only had 8 2-point baskets in this entire game. UCLA, this is a game that UCLA led at the break 37-34. They led as late as, you know, the final handful of minutes of the second half, but the Aztecs were able to close and make some plays down the stretch. I have the write-up from Mark. I'm trying to find how they finished off this game. He wrote this: Miles Heidi, who's been battling knee tendonitis and was questionable to go, had a 3-point play on a screen and roll with Davis for a dunk with 53 seconds left in a 1-point game. And then he writes that Davis sealed it with his 6th 3 of the game with 16 seconds to go. So, again, do you read everything into it? You probably shouldn't read everything into it. And I've read some of the quotes here from Brian Dutcher post game saying that, you know, he was going to say the same thing to the team, whether they won or lost. And he also recognized that the way that Mick Cronin kind of treated his rotation here today is not something that he would do in a regular season game over 40 minutes. But again, I mean, you have to be excited about the way that they handle business here today. You're playing with like 8. Did they play 8? I think that's right. They were pressured the entire game, by the way. UCLA like pressured the entire game and pressed. And San Diego State played 8 players in a scrimmage. You had 4 players play 31 or more minutes here today, because again, you're just down 3 scholarship players. So you only play 8. You go on the road. UCLA, by the way, is preseason number 22. Again, it's not the end all be all. Could win this game and not have a great year. You could lose this year and have, or lose this game and have a great year, right? But I think you'd prefer to win it than lose it. I thought Mark made the good point that a couple of years ago, of course, the Aztecs get to a national championship game. I think they scrimmaged that year, UCLA, and trailed at 1 point in that game 18-2 and had a close loss in that game. So it's not like, you know, if you have a good scrimmage, you're going to have a good year. Or if you have a bad scrimmage, you're going to have a bad year, and so on and so forth. But again, I think it's pretty encouraging. If you're an Aztec fan, I think it gets a lot of people excited. And you look at what's to come here. And the most critical order of business for me is 2 things. A, get healthy, right? I mean, you got guys that were playing in this game that aren't fully healthy, as we just referenced, like Miles Heidi, who's not fully healthy. And then you also have guys that are just out. But the good news is Nick Boyd, who had a foot, was in a boot for the better part of the summer, he's now out of that boot. He's now practicing with the team. Wayne McKinney has been, I think, according to the writing of Mark, he's kind of been slowed by a hamstring. I don't expect that to keep him out once we get into the regular season for San Diego State. I mentioned Boyd, I mentioned McKinney. And then I think they've been careful here with Reese Waters, who, again, has played 4 years of college basketball. So I think they're going to be cautious with Reese as the season is just a couple of weeks away. But you've got an exhibition game at Viejas coming up in 10 days against, is it Cal State San Marcos? I tweeted about it earlier today. I think it's San Marcos. Let me confirm that. They will play, yes, they'll play Division II Cal State San Marcos at Viejas Arena on October 30th. Then they'll host UCSD at Viejas Arena on November 6th, which I think is a sneaky game. Again, you've got the city matchup. You had a game that was played last year at Lion Tree that San Diego State needed to put back essentially the buzzer from Jane Ledee to win. And UCSD, from a metric perspective heading into the year, is going to be able to hold their own. They'll be, you know, top 150 in some of the metrics, including KenPom. San Diego State sitting in the 40s, somewhere in that mid-40s range at KenPom right now. So, again, the Aztecs, of course, will be expected to win that game. But you look at their non-conference schedule, and they've got such a challenge coming up in November, whether it's Gonzaga at Viejas Arena, top 10 metric team starting the year, and then the three games in Las Vegas. And Brian Dutcher hinted at the possibility that the format for that event actually changes in Las Vegas. You're like, well, what are you talking about, John? The format might change in Las Vegas. Yeah, it's a possibility that the format will change in Las Vegas. I think he said, and we had him on, John and Jim, on Friday. We did an event out at Broken Yoke on campus at San Diego State, presented by the Mesa Foundation. Terrific event. By the way, if you're not supporting the Aztec Collective, you should be. Mesa Foundation to support San Diego State men's and women's basketball. And, of course, Aztec Link to support San Diego State student-athletes in Aztec football as well. So if you're not supporting those collectives, and we can talk a little bit about that here tonight as well, because the Aztecs, in the day that they win a scrimmage, lost out on a high school prep recruit, Chris Newley, who's out of Vegas, close friends with Taj DeGorville, Farrell Compton. He chose Rutgers over, I don't know if San Diego State finished second or not. I think San Diego State was in the mix. I think USC was in the mix, according to some writing today in New Jersey at the Asbury Park Press. But NIL was absolutely a factor you would envision for Chris Newley, with Rutgers getting in late, top 50 high school player, Sierra Canyon product. So, you know, that's something that we can talk about as well if you want to. But again, I always encourage people to support the collectives, whether it's Mesa Foundation, Aztec Link, and or both of those collectives. But yeah, I was talking about the NIL tournament, and San Diego State has Creighton and Oregon, I think, already for the first two games, and then Texas A&M was supposed to be the third game. But what Dutch alluded to on Friday was that there could be some type of format change because there are new rules with MTEs, multiple team events, that the NCAA has instituted. And those new rules mean that schools that are in the same league are able to play each other in these preseason preseason tournament events, these MTEs. So like if you had two Big Ten teams previously, they weren't supposed to play each other in an MTE, but now you can moving forward because these conferences have gotten so large and you've got like 18 teams in the Big Ten and 16 teams in the SEC and so on and so forth. So just keep your eyes and ears out for that. There's a possibility that the format does change. I do believe San Diego State is locked in to playing Creighton and Oregon. I'm not sure if they're locked in to playing Texas A&M or if their opponent's going to change for that third game the Saturday after Thanksgiving at the MGM Garden Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada. But again, because of that challenging schedule, you want to get off on the right foot, you want to be fully healthy, and you want to make sure you take care of business when you have to, because we know that it's going to be tricky against Gonzaga, Creighton, Oregon, whomever else. And against an opponent like UCSD or USD, you basically have to put yourself in a position where you win those games. They are at Viejas Arena, which is good news. San Diego State a year ago played some of those tricky non-conference games on the road. Grand Canyon, UCSD come to mind. And those are challenging games. The good news is for the Aztecs this year, they will play those games at Viejas Arena. So that's the you know, kind of the short of it. Again, I wasn't there, but apparently encouraging for the Aztecs, who again played good defense, had BJ Davis score 28 points. That is a huge, huge total, no matter when, where, how. Brian Dutcher alluding to that tonight to Mark, saying 28 points is a big number. I don't care where you're playing. If you're playing in a high school game, 28 points is a big number. He put up a big number. BJ stepped up in a really big way. I just think that's really encouraging for his confidence to start the year. And you're doing things with a very young group when you don't have Waters, Boyd, and McKinney, right? I mean, when you're playing a couple of true freshmen in Compton and DeGorville, when you're playing a redshirt freshman who didn't appear last year in Magoon-Gwath, and again, it wasn't perfect. They had high turnover numbers. You're not going to win a lot of games in college basketball at the men's level or in men's college basketball at the Division I level when you commit 24 turnovers, especially on the road, but they're not going to be committing 24 turnovers because they didn't have their likely two most featured point guards this year appearing in the game in Nick Boyd and Wayne McKinney. But PJ Davis is going to get opportunities. I mean, there's absolutely no question about that. He's a guy that will be counted on in his sophomore season. And some of these sophomores are, you know, have some of the experience that the Aztecs don't, you know, that they have some more experience that a lot of these guys even have on this roster. When you think about like a Heidi, a Davis, you know, entering their second year in the system and, you know, with the program, there's a lot of players on this roster that don't have 2 years of experience at San Diego State. So I think they're going to be counted on from a leadership perspective, from a knowledge perspective. And I do think it's encouraging for San Diego State again to win at UCLA in a closed-door scrimmage here today, 72-67, holding the Bruins to 34.5% shooting. So I will get to some of these super chats. Appreciate your support of the channel. I see one from Kevin Wilson. If you are new to the channel, if you wouldn't mind subscribing, all right, this is a bit of a passion project. I do this channel on the side in addition to my full-time radio show, John and Jim, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. San Diego Sports 760. Then I do like a Padres wrap-up show. Then I'm calling Aztec football games. And I'm doing pregame, halftime, and postgame. I'm juggling a million things in the air. But I love talking with Aztec fans, and that's why I launched this channel roughly a year ago. And there are times where I do more live shows, and there's times where I don't because of my schedule. But if you want more content, if you want more live shows, if you wouldn't mind telling people about the channel, if you wouldn't mind subscribing, if you wouldn't mind smashing the like button for me, I'd appreciate it. And again, appreciate the super chats like Kevin Wilson. And if you want to support with the super chat to support the channel, you can click the dollar sign below the chat box. If you want to just comment in the live chat, I'll try to get to some of the comments over the course of the next 20 or 30 minutes as well. But again, if you want to have your comment on screen like Kevin, you can click the dollar sign below the chat box. I'll get to every single super chat here tonight on the wrap-up show. He says, and thank you, Kevin. Appreciate your longtime support of my work and this channel and everything Aztec related. So appreciate you, man. He says, defense seems solid, holding UCLA under 70. I mean, yeah, it's more than solid when you hold an opponent on the road to 34.5% shooting. Now, again, they had, let's see, about 55% of their attempts from beyond the arc. They were decent from three. I mean, 12 of 31 is not a bad clip. What is that? 36.7% as I look at the box score here. But from two, that means they were 8 of 27 in the game from two, which is what, maybe under 30%? So Aztecs from an interior defense perspective without seeing the game presumably played pretty well. 12 made threes is typically a formula to lose a game, but the Aztecs hit nine threes themselves. They were even at the free throw line. Aztecs were 15 of 20. UCLA was 15 of 19. They were minus nine in turnovers. I mean, UCLA had 14 more field goal attempts than San Diego State, yet the Aztecs won the game. How did they do that? Well, they held UCLA to 34% shooting, and that's how you win a game. I think that under Brian Dutcher, when opponents shoot under 40%, he wins something like 95%+ of the time. It might be higher than that. It might be in the neighborhood of like 96%, 97% of the time when opponents shoot under 40%. That's the formula. Hold opponents under 40%, out-rebound them, take care of the basketball, which is something they didn't do here today. But they got contributions from everyone. I look at the eight that played. Everyone played a role. Jared Coleman-Jones, the MTSU transfer, 7 points and five rebounds. He was 2 of 4 from the floor. I mentioned Magoon Gwah, 10 points and three rebounds. Also had two steals in this game. BJ Davis, of course, is going to get most of the acclaim, 28 points, six rebounds, by the way, and two assists. Aztecs did have 13 assists in this game on 24 field goals. Decent clip. Miles Bird, 9 points, seven rebounds is a big number. Four assists is a big number. Two steals and a block. That should come as no surprise if you watched Bird last year with all the blocks. Taj DeGorville in this game, 5 points and four rebounds. Off the bench, Kimo Ferrari was 1 of 2 from the floor, had 3 points. That was a three-point field goal. Miles Heide, 6 points, including that late bucket. He played just over 13 minutes. That was his only field goal attempt. He was 4 of 5 from the free throw line. And then Farrell Compton, again, 2 of 3, had 4 points and three rebounds, playing about 15 minutes here today. Looks like a couple of Bruins were in double figures. Sebastian Mack off their bench scored 15 points. He did most of that at the free throw line. He was also 3 of 3 from the beyond the arc, but 6 of 6 from the free throw line. 3 of 3 from beyond the arc for Sebastian Mack, who had 15 points to lead the Bruins here today. But you're right, Kevin. I mean, you know the formula. I mean, it's no secret. They preach it. We could talk about the comings and the goings and the changings of offensive philosophies or principles or players. But at the end of the day, if San Diego State holds opponents to 40% or less, the Aztecs are, you know, capable of winning a lot of games and beating a lot of opponents and playing their way into the NCAA tournament and then winning games in the NCAA tournament. And this is a completely, you know, I talked a lot about this last week because the Mountain West Media Day poll came out, I think on maybe Thursday for men's basketball. And the Aztecs were picked fourth, which I don't think is overly surprising, truthfully, when you look at some of the players returning at like Boise State with Dagenhart and like Donovan Dent back at New Mexico and some of the returnees at Nevada. Like, there's some good players returning to this league. There really are, including San Diego State with like a BJ Davis and a Reese Waters, right? And Miles Byrd and Miles Heide. Like, you know, a lot of these teams have a lot back, including San Diego State, even with the changes. And, you know, people are up in arms about the Aztecs being picked to finish fourth, including me to some extent. I mean, not that it's, again, the end-all be-all, to use that term, because truthfully, who cares where you're picked in the preseason? It has no impact on anything. You could be picked like 11th. I think Utah State a year ago, with zero returning points from the prior year, was picked something like 9th or 10th or 11th in the league, weren't they? I think maybe 9th. They won the regular season outright and had an amazing year. And basically, that year is what parlayed their head coach into the head coaching job at the University of Washington. So there's no assurance that just because you're picked high, you finish high, or you're picked low, you finish low. But the one thing I would say about San Diego State is that when people ask me, well, why do you think they should be picked higher than fourth? Well, a couple of things. I mean, the history speaks for itself, and the culture and the coaching continuity. Like, the players and the numbers and the names change, but the winning pedigree doesn't. And the Aztecs have, you know, routinely found themselves in the NCAA tournament 12 of the last 14 years, if you include the 30-2 season in 2020, which of course I include because there was no NCAA tournament. But if there was one, I promise you this, the Aztecs would have been either a 1 or a 2 seed in that tournament. And we could be talking about 2 Final Fours, by the way, in the last 4 or 5 seasons. But the reason that for me, I understand that there's been a lot of change. There's no question about it. And it's not, you know, it's not something that doesn't have to be overcome. It absolutely does. Is it a hurdle? Of course. I mean, would you prefer to have some of these players back that have left for other places? Of course you would. But with all that being said, they added some veteran pieces that have played at a very high level and been successful, either part of winning teams or just part of teams, you know, at a, you know, basically leaders of other teams, like Wayne McKinney at USD or Nick Boyd at FAU or Jared Coleman-Jones, who's played a lot of basketball. So they've added some veteran pieces. In addition to that, I think they've got some young players they're going to count on this year, whether it's Taj Gorville, Pharaoh Compton, Magoon Gwath, Miles Heide, BJ Davis. Like, I think that's all encouraging. There have been other years where, yes, San Diego State has been more veteran-laden. Brian Dutcher's talked about, you know, how do you have a good team? You get and stay old. And we look at that team 2 years ago with the 9 players in the rotation, and they were all like 4th, 5th, or 6th-year players. College basketball is changing. You're not going to have all 9 players in your roster on your roster as 4th, 5th, or 6th-year players. A, you're phasing out of the COVID eligibility classes. That's A. B, you're in a brand new era of portal and NIL. So things are changing. So you're going to have to be more reliant on some younger players. And you're also going to have to be more reliant on roster continuity not being as core of a component as it has been previously. And what I mean by that is this is happening everywhere, that it's hard to retain players on your own roster. This is not a San Diego State thing or a Mountain West thing. This is a college athletics thing. So you're going to have comings and goings, and can you get up to speed, you know, quickly? And I think with San Diego State, with this veteran coaching staff, with some of the players that are back and some of the newcomers that are here that have won at high levels, I think that we'll find that out. But they don't have to play their best basketball in November. You'd prefer them to play some of their better basketball in November because of the teams that they're going to play. But the truth is, they need to put themselves in position where they're playing their best basketball late in the season, whether that's late in the Mountain West regular season to put themselves in position to potentially win a regular season title, or in the Mountain West Conference tournament, or hopefully postseason play for San Diego State in the NCAA tournament. So we'll see how it plays out. There's no straight line here. There'll be ups and downs. There's always adversity. Even teams that go 30-2 deal with adversity. Injuries are a part of it as well. How quickly can they get healthy? And from there, how quickly can they hit their stride? And we'll find out in the days and weeks and months ahead for San Diego State. Let's see here. Just looking at some of the live chat, I do want to talk some San Diego State football, and we'll do that coming up in a few minutes. Again, if you're joining in here tonight, if you wouldn't mind subscribing, you're on content for Aztec fans. We could talk some Pac-12 as well, what that looks like with realignment. So please subscribe. You're on content for Aztec fans, for Pac-12 fans moving forward as well. We talk football and basketball primarily here on the wrap-up show. If you wouldn't mind subscribing, we are here for you. Just looking back here at the live chat that's come in over the last 20 minutes or so. Let's see here. Just looking. Just trying to see if there's anything I haven't touched on. I appreciate you, Steve. Thank you for saying that. It means a lot. Appreciate you. I was considering, I'm like, yeah, should I do this? Should I not do this? My wife's sleeping upstairs. My five-year-old sleeping in the bedroom right here on this level. I'm in my kitchen doing a YouTube stream, but I enjoy doing that. I know there's Aztec fans that want to talk about it, whether they're here live or on replay. So figured I would do it for 30 or 40 minutes. Let's see here. Just trying to catch up real quick. This is a great question from Joey. Joey, thank you. He says, realistically, if we go 1-3 or 2-2 in that four-game stretch, would that be considered a success? I mean, 2-2 is 100% absolutely a huge success, and that could alone be enough of a, you know, resume that you put yourself to be in contention for at-large spots at the NCAA tournament if you do all the other things that are necessary too, if that makes sense. But if you can beat two top 30 teams in the non-conference, let's say Gonzaga at home and Creighton on a neutral, well, Gonzaga's top 10 and Creighton right now is top 15. You're talking about two quad one non-conference wins. That's a big number. And in addition to that, there'll be quad one opportunities in the Mountain West. Not as many as last year, but certainly road games at Boise, New Mexico, Nevada could trend in that direction. And even a home game against a team like Boise State potentially could be a quad one opportunity. So you're going to get, you know, your 6, 7, 8 opportunities in quad one. And, you know, I think two wins in the non-conference would be pretty significant when you consider that schedule. I even think getting one, you haven't hurt yourself, and you could probably argue you've helped yourself. Metrically, you haven't hurt yourself by going 1-3. Let's hypothesize losses to Gonzaga, Creighton, and Texas A&M. I don't even know if that A&M game is going to stay or not. And then let's say a victory over Oregon, if I said that right. So now you got like a top 30 win on a neutral, and you've got, you know, you're 1-3 in quad one games there. And let's say you pick up another one or two quad one wins in conference, and all of a sudden you look up and you're 3-4 in quad one games, or I don't know, 3-5, or, you know, something in that range. That's a pretty decent quad one resume. Why? It's a lot of quad one games, especially for teams out of a power league. And B, you get to that threshold of about three quad one wins. That's a decent number. Again, there's going to be programs in the Big 12, ACC, Big 10. They're going to have, you know, 6, 7, 8 quad one wins. But then again, they might have 16 losses against quad one opponents because of who they're playing in their league. So I don't think you need to do better. I think better than 2-2, and you're putting yourself in position to have one of the best non-conference resumes in the country, considering that schedule. And I would argue that 1-3 or better, and you certainly haven't hurt yourself. You could even argue that if you don't get any of those games, you haven't fully, quote unquote, hurt yourself, but you're going to have to do work in the league at that point. I mean, you're going to have to really rattle off wins in the league to be considered for an at-large berth if you go 0-4 in those games. But to Joey's point, you got to beat someone over those four games. And that's the challenge of that, is you need to do it now, because we're going to look up a month from now and we're going to be through that four-game stretch. Essentially, we're going to look up after Thanksgiving and we're going to be through that stretch. And that's going to be a pretty big determining factor in whether San Diego State has done enough from a non-conference perspective to have the resume necessary to get in as an at-large team. Now, again, you could go 3-1 of those games, but if you don't play well in the Mountain West, it doesn't matter. Or you could go 1-3 in those games and then play unbelievably well in the Mountain West and position yourself for an at-large berth. So it's not as simple as just saying go 2-2 and you're good, go 1-3 and you're not good, go 3-1 and you're in the NCAA tournament. I mean, it doesn't work like that, especially when you're outside the power leagues. But they will give themselves an opportunity. I know that by playing those four games, they will give themselves an opportunity to build a resume and put themselves in position to qualify for an at-large spot based on what they do over the course of the rest of the year. But you win a couple of those games and you are well-positioned, is what I would say. Yeah, like to Kevin's point, he says, I think going 1-3, and the NIL tournament's actually three games, but if you include the Gonzaga game, so let's just say 1-3 in those four games, NIL tournament and Gonzaga, he says, would be acceptable, assuming no bad losses in the rest of the non-conference, that. And then, of course, no bad losses in what has become a 20-game league schedule, which is a really challenging in terms of avoiding that quote-unquote bad loss, because now you're playing everyone twice, everyone's familiar with you. The bottom half of this league creates some really bad loss possibilities if you don't win those games. You got to sweep Fresno State. You need to sweep Who else do you need to sweep at the bottom of the league? But, you know, you need to sweep San Jose State. You potentially need to sweep Wyoming. We'll see, you know, whether they're good or not, you know, going into the season. But that's not easy to do. You know, it's not easy. You got to sweep Air Force. You got to go to elevation to do it, right? If you do have to sweep Wyoming, you're doing it again at elevation. Like, you got to take these 8 or 10 games, and you got to win all of them. Like, that's not easy. It's just not easy when you've always got a bullseye on you, when you've been to back-to-back Sweet 16s, when you've played for a national championship, when the other team fills their building for you but for nobody else. It's not easy. So there's 6 or 8 games you just got to win. And then the other, you know, 10 or 12, you're going to have to play well enough. You're going to have to pick up a quad one win or two. You're going to have to avoid, you know, home losses to quad two or three opponents. You get the point. I mean, it's tricky. We've all gone through this so many times watching the Aztecs play the conference schedule. I liked it when it was a 16-game league schedule. Then it was an 18-game league schedule. Now it's a 20-game league schedule that does no favors for anyone, including San Diego State. I think at the end of the day, and you've heard me harp on this on John and Jim or on the wrap-up show or on social media, I think at the end of the day, this will hurt the Mountain West's ability to get teams into the NCAA tournament from an at-large perspective. Not to say that every year you're getting 6 teams in. You're not. Last year was probably a 1 in 100 year. There's already been outcry from power leagues like the Big East. They're already going to be fearful of putting, you know, 5, 6 Mountain West teams in the NCAA tournament again. But, you know, you had 6 last year. Is this league going to be able to get 3 this year? Like, I have no idea. But a lot of it's going to be determined on New Mexico avoiding a loss to Air Force, which is something they didn't avoid doing last year, or San Diego State avoiding a loss to, I'm making it up, Fresno State, or Boise State avoiding losses to Wyoming. So, but just by playing the additional games, you're opening up the possibility of bad losses, and bad losses are what keep teams out of the NCAA tournament that are outside power leagues. Therefore, the scheduling philosophy of playing a true round robin with 20 league games, in my opinion, and I will stick with this point for as long as I need to make the point, is a terrible idea, especially for the top of the league, especially for programs like San Diego State, Boise State, New Mexico, and Nevada. The good news is it's potentially just a one-year scheduling decision. They may stick with it the next year, and after next year, San Diego State's not even in the league. But for the next 2 years, it's something that the Aztecs and other programs at the top of the league are going to have to deal with. I do not think it is beneficial to get teams into the NCAA tournament. Appreciate you, man. Thank you, Drax. Thank you so much for the kind words. Yeah, I agree with this, Hosmer Hader, and thank you. Guys, if you're here, about 85 of you are here live right now on a whim, so appreciate it. If you wouldn't mind subscribing, year-round content for you. Thank you for the super chats. I'll get to the super that just came in from JK Ross or LV momentarily as well. Appreciate the super chats. Appreciate your support of the channel. Just click the dollar sign below the chat box. He says, having Magoon at the 4 is going to create some serious mismatches in the Mountain West this season. Yeah, I mean, he's one of these players that when Dutch has been asked about it, I think this is at Media Day this past week, they're like, who does he remind you of? And he's like, no one. I mean, he's a unicorn. There are not a lot of 7-footers that face up, that can shoot the 3-ball, that can dribble, that can play both inside and out, that do the things that he does. Now, is there going to be a learning curve? Of course. He's never played college basketball. Yes, he's got 1 year under his belt, but that was a redshirt year to essentially, you know, put on weight, gain experience. His future is really bright. The question is, how long does it take him to be fully acclimated and ready to go and, you know, available to help you win at a very high level? And I think there's going to be flashes where Magoon looks absolutely terrific, and there's going to be other flashes where he's going to look probably like a freshman, because guess what? He is a freshman. So I cannot wait to see him on the floor. We've seen him at practice before, and by we, I mean, you know, people that have been at Aztec practices have seen him, and you see the potential. It's just unbelievable. So I think there's a lot of reason for excitement when it comes to Magoon Guath. But if your expectation is from day one he's going to fall out of bed at 15 points, 10 rebounds, I think you need to be fair and reasonable with a guy that's never played college basketball. But he is a true 7-footer that can face up, that can shoot, that has a huge wingspan, great agility, and is a problem, I think, defensively for opponents as well, and has a really nice touch around the rim as well. So, yeah, I think it's really encouraging and exciting. Let me get to this from J.K. Ross or LV. Thank you, man. He says, though very early, does Dutch have an idea of rotations yet? Truthfully, I would guess no. And why do I say that? Because very rarely this summer has he had his full complement of players available to him at practice. Why? Because Nick Boyd's been out with a foot. Why? Because Rhys Waters has been out. Why? Because Wayne McKinney's been out with a hamstring. So there's just been one thing after the next with this group. So I think they probably have a feel for what they'd like to do, but I don't know if they have a true feel for what they actually have seen on the floor, because they haven't had an opportunity to see it on the floor a lot as of yet. So that plays out over time. Yes, I'm sure they have a feel for what they want to see from this group in general and how many minutes they want to, you know, potentially, you know, partition up. I don't even know if that's a word. My son is coughing. He's got, what does he have? He's got a double ear infection is what he has, but he's on antibiotics. Maybe too much information. So anyway, I'm not really sure if they have, I'm sure they have ideas for it, but again, I'm sure they want to see more on the floor, and hopefully that's something they see in the weeks ahead. Because again, yes, you played with eight today and you're thinking, oh man, are they going to be healthy by the start of the season? Well, the season doesn't start for 16 days. So, you know, they still have over 2 weeks, and you know, we might not see Boyd, McKinney, Waters against San Marcos on October 30th, or maybe we will, I'm not sure, but there's still time. And I think that Boyd's trending. I mean, I know he's trending in the right direction. I think Waters, same thing, trending in the right direction. Same thing with McKinney. So I don't think it's a real concern for once the season gets underway. But of course, you want to have this group play as much as possible together. And unfortunately, they haven't been able to do that because of injury. Let's see here. So thank you, J.K. Rosser. Gary, thank you, man, for your longtime support of my work in the channel. He says, hi, John, I can't attach the screenshot, but Utah State was picked ninth last year. I mean, that's crazy. That's honestly crazy to be picked to finish ninth in the league last year and to win the league outright. And again, it wasn't a balanced schedule, which I'm all for. I don't need to see a balance, but, you know, I think they missed, you know, a team or two towards the top of the league. But to be picked to finish ninth in the preseason and finish at the top of the league just goes to show that, yes, San Diego State's picked to finish fourth. It doesn't mean they will finish fourth. They could finish higher. They could finish lower. And I'm not going to put too much stock into preseason rankings, even though I'm one of the people that actually votes in the preseason ranking. Joey, good point. He did. I was at the Swiss League three, four times this year, and he played really well. He played really well in the Swiss League. So that was encouraging. And yeah, I just think he's kind of made the most of the offseason. Right. I mean, he didn't have a lot of opportunities last year playing behind guys like Darion Trammell and Lamont Butler, Rhys Waters, Miles Byrd, like veteran team that is coming off a national championship run and makes its way to a Sweet 16. But I think when you learn from players as good and capable as Butler, Trammell, Waters, right, Byrd, you put yourself in a position where you can get good real quick. And I think he was already good. He just didn't have the opportunity, but now he's going to hopefully take advantage of some of these opportunities. And if today's any indication, then he certainly has been taking advantage of opportunities. Let's see here, guys. You guys tell me, put it in the live chat. I mean, what's a realistic expectation for San Diego State this year? What do you think? Put it down below. You know, I think it depends on who you ask, truthfully. I mean, I wouldn't put anything past San Diego State, considering the, you know, the history, the lineage, the success, the pedigree. So, I mean, I think the expectation for Brian Dutcher and his staff and his players are to get to the NCAA tournament. You know, that's, I think, the expectation, to vie for a Mountain West regular season and or postseason title and get to the NCAA tournament. That's my expectation. It's way too hard to be like, well, they need to be seated here and they need to, I think if you can get to the NCAA tournament, with a group that's relatively young, that has a lot of newcomers from the transfer portal, I think that certainly would be considered by a number of people a success. But what do you guys think? Put it down below. Larry Joe, thanks, man. He says, so John, I noticed we're not scheduled to play BYU this season. That's too bad. Wish they were able to get that game scheduled, but I understand the non-conference scheduling has gotten a bit tricky. Here's the thing with playing a team like BYU moving forward. It's that it's not as necessary for BYU anymore because they're in the Big 12. And when you're playing a 20-game league schedule in the Big 12, and I think they're playing 20, but someone correct me if I'm wrong. I think they are because they've stretched out the Big 12 to, what, 16 teams at this point, 14 or 16 teams? Maybe it's 14. I get confused. Lost Oklahoma, Texas, added four. Maybe it's 14. But the Big 12 is, as good of a basketball league as there is in the country, which means BYU is going to have 10 plus quad one opportunities in league. Maybe it's like 12 plus. They just don't need the games. They used to need those games. They were playing fewer league games in the WCC than programs in Power Five leagues. So they could use that home and home. They needed that non-conference game against a quality program like San Diego State. San Diego State could still use that game playing in the Mountain West, but BYU just doesn't need it. So because BYU doesn't need it, I think that's why it's gone by the wayside for now. Could it return in the future? Could they play a one-off on a neutral? Yeah, maybe. I think I haven't looked at BYU's non-conference schedule. My guess is it's a lot softer than it would have been 2 or 3 years ago when they weren't in the Big 12. Gustavo, and I got about 5 minutes, guys, because I would go longer, but I need to check on my son. But he's fine. Trust me. He's been coughing for 6 straight days. And he's seen 2 doctors, and they say he's fine. But he goes on these, like, coughing fits, and it's – I mean, he's your only child, and you've never had a child before. You're like, what's going on? Is everything okay? But they tell me he's okay. Gustavo, thank you, man. It says, hey, John, Gustavo from TJ. How serious are Reese Waters and Wayne McKinney injuries? Do you know when they're coming back? I don't know the full extent here. I know what Mark's written. I think Waters, and I don't want to speak out of turn on it. Hold on, let me see if Mark has anything on it. I think Waters, he writes, Waters has a foot issue that has sidelined him the past 2 weeks. I don't think it's anything of significant concern. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but I think it's a foot injury that they're being cautious with Waters. In terms of Wayne McKinney, I think they're also being cautious with his hamstring. So let's see. McKinney is nursing a re-aggravation of a hamstring injury that sidelined him for the team's first intra-squad scrimmage, but not the second. So again, I think with a veteran player that has played a lot of basketball that you're going to need once the season starts, it's probably not worth risking in a closed-door scrimmage if he's not 100%. So I think that's why those two players are out, because I think they're being cautious, and I think the hope is to get them both back for the start of the regular season in a couple of weeks. Let's see here. I see a super just rolled in here from Kevin. Kevin, appreciate you. He says, I like our D versus the dual threat quarterback this weekend. Yeah, I want to touch on this for a few minutes. I think this is going to be a really good game. I saw the point spread. I was surprised by it. I think San Diego State opened as a 14.5 point underdog. Now that's been, I think, trickled down into the 12-13 range. Washington State's been really good. They're 6-1. They've got an outstanding quarterback in John Mateer. They've got some good wins. They blew out Hawaii this past weekend. Hawaii, though, was banged up, and this game was on the Palouse in Pullman. I just think San Diego State, coming off consecutive wins, continuing to show improvement, Danny O'Neill getting healthier, coming off a bye back home, I just think it's a good spot for San Diego State. I'm not saying necessarily to win. I just think the Aztecs are going to play well against Washington State and hopefully give them a pretty good game. That's, you know, comes down to hopefully, you know, the later stages, the final few minutes potentially of the fourth quarter. I just have a feeling that it's going to be a good game. I hope I'm right. You know, I thought they played Oregon State relatively well much earlier in the season. The final score doesn't indicate that. They lost 21-0, but they were at the 2-yard line going in for a chance to tie it at 7 to start the fourth quarter, and they fumbled. And then Oregon State went 99 yards and opened the game up. So I just feel like the Aztecs are showing improvement under Sean Lewis. Like, I'm seeing it because I've watched all these games. I'm there for all these games. I'm watching film on these games. I'm just seeing improvement. And I don't think this is easy the second half of the season with Washington State and Boise State and UNLV. Like, those are 3 really hard games. That's a really tough schedule for anyone outside the Power Five to be playing. And they might have to be perfect in the other 3 games to get to a bowl game, right? New Mexico, Utah State, Air Force. I think it's possible to win those 3 games, or maybe you win 2 of them and you knock someone off like Washington State. But like, this is not an easy second half schedule, and the Aztecs can continue to show improvement and potentially not win 6 games, or shoot, maybe not even win 5 games. But from what I'm seeing from my seat, I'm seeing a team that's improving, and we'll see if they can take advantage of that in the second half against this really challenging schedule. But Aztecs defense has played pretty darn well. Trey White is one of the best defensive players in the country. I think they hope to get their linebackers back off the bye. Tana Latuli was out with a thumb. Owen Chambliss, I think, was out with a thumb as well for San Diego State, but now you got the bye week. So chance to get healthier. 6 games in 6 weeks. We'll see if they can get the 6 wins. And right now they're 2-0 in the Mountain West. This is not a Mountain West game, obviously, taking on Washington State, but I think it's a pretty cool opportunity. It's homecoming. If you don't have tickets or Hopefully can get out there is the point, because I think it has a chance to be a pretty good game. I was really surprised the line was as high as it was. I know Washington State's good, but they've been in some close games on the road. They've been in some one possession games this year. They beat San Jose State at home in a double overtime thriller. They beat Fresno State in a late pick six by maybe 7 or 8 points. So I just have a feeling it's going to be a good game, and I hope I'm right. Let's see here. Yeah, I think this is from Billion. J.K. Rosser says, dope fitted. Got the same from my folks down at Billion Creation in Chula. Awesome people and a decent selection. Yes, great place. Great people. Completely agree. I talk about this place all the time. I talk about it all the time, so I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, they have at least a handful of San Diego State fitteds. And I always try to support. If I see San Diego State fitteds, I'm trying to support. That's for sure. That's a good point, Steve. Yeah, because there is a Sweet 16 banner that lists the Sweet 16 appearances for the Aztecs, 2011, 2014, 2023, 2024. So that's a good point, Steve. Thank you. Let's see what else here. Just looking at the live chat. Larry Joe says this team has to get used to playing with each other, but they will be successful in the non-conference, which will bode well for them entering the conference, and conference road games will be tough. Yeah, I mean, that's always the case. I mean, everyone circles San Diego State, obviously. And last year was really tough. I mean, you think about it, though. They finished in fifth place in the regular season in the Mountain West, but they were rewarded for what they did in the non-conference. That's what they were rewarded for, winning at Gonzaga. And they got a number 5 seed in the NCAA tournament, even though they were fifth place in the Mountain West. So I think the non-conference is crucial. I think that your overall regular season standing in the league isn't the end-all be-all, but that's only if you do work in the non-conference. If you don't do work in the non-conference, you're going to have to be one of the top couple of teams in the Mountain West in the regular season to put yourself in position for an at-large. And if you don't do that, then you got to win a couple of games in Vegas in March. Simple as that. So I think the non-conference has always served San Diego State well in terms of opportunities. They took advantage of them last year, and they were rewarded for it. And if they can do the same thing this year, same thing will play out. But if they don't win a couple of those games in Las Vegas or against Gonzaga at home, then they're going to have to do a lot of work in the Mountain West. So it'll be interesting. It's a really fascinating November, I would say, for San Diego State. And we'll see how quickly they mesh, gel, have the health that they need to potentially win at a really high level. But yeah, like J.K. Rosser says, I mean, there's a lot of tough venues, and whether it's elevation or just the environment or the venue or the team. I mean, there's a lot of tough venues in the Mountain West. And we'll see on this, Kevin. He says, Mateer has 6 interceptions on the season, about to be 7 or 8. We'll see. We'll find out. Yeah. Hopefully soon, man. You guys know. I'm sure a number of you have kids. Nothing like it, right? Frank is arguing with me. I have no problem with that. That's cool. 100%. Frank says, you're biased, John. You aren't seeing what the fans are seeing. 100%. I'm biased. That's fair. He says they blew out Hawaii. We won by 3 points. Yeah, they blew out Hawaii at home, 42-10. That doesn't mean they'll blow out San Diego State because they blew out Hawaii. Also, if you watch the game, which I did, Hawaii had some unforced turnovers that were really advantageous for Washington State. Hawaii was also down a couple of their top players on both sides of the ball, offense and defense, including their best receiver, their NFL receiver, and Profeli Ashlock. And they were without some defensive players that played against San Diego State. Don't get me wrong, Washington State's good. I told you they were good. But just because Washington State's good or they blew out Hawaii doesn't mean they're going to blow out San Diego State this weekend. But we'll see, Frank. But am I biased? I mean, yeah, look at my hat. Right. I'm not trying to be an independent journalist on the topic. There's no question about it. Is Flipper in here? Is that Flipper? Is that who Frank is? All right. Well, I just wanted to, catch up with Aztec fans for 45 or 50 minutes, talk some hoops, talk some football. And we'll be talking more about it on Monday, 3 p.m. John and Jim, San Diego Sports 760, beginning at 3 p.m. Always have Aztec content for you there. So find it on the iHeartRadio app or search for John and Jim 760 on YouTube or listen on San Diego Sports 760. All right. If you haven't subscribed, I'd appreciate it if you did that for me. You're on Content for Aztec Fans. So please subscribe. Please smash the like button for me. And you can follow me on Twitter as well, or X, at John Schaefer. That's JonSchaeffer. Again, that is at John Schaefer. We'll catch you up this week on the radio, San Diego Sports 760. And we're about 6 days away from San Diego State, Washington State, Snapdragon Stadium on Saturday night, 10 days away from the San Marcos exhibition game, and 2 weeks away from the opener for San Diego State men's basketball, hard to believe, against UCSD. All right, guys, my name's John Schaefer. This has been the wrap-up show. Thanks so much.